Thank you for downloading another episode of Hash It Out with Jane. My name is Jane Hash, and today I'm going to share an interview I did via Skype with author Robert Bennett. One of the things I found most interesting about this author is that while he has a physical disability, he writes about a fictional character who has a different type of disability. Now, I've read a lot of books because I'm just super geeky like that, but I have never seen this combination of perspectives before. So, go make yourself comfortable, and I'll be right back with author Robert Bennett. For the podcast.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I've been doing some research on you, and you're a pretty interesting guy.
Thank you very much. By the way, I like your hat.
Thank you. It's hiding my bed head.
Okay.
So, you were born with spina bifida, but you didn't have a lot of symptoms. How does that work?
Well, I was born with spina bifida meningomyelocele. Don't ask me to spell it because I can't. but it was very, very low down on my back. It was at L5 and S1. So it didn't really leave me with very many problems at all. I mean, I have some more muscle control problems with my hand a little bit. I was walking with a very wide gait and a little bit of a limp, but really no other discernible problems up until the time of my car accident.
And how old were you when you had your accident?
It was in 1988, July 25th, 1988, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was 28 years old.
So it wasn't until that time that you became a wheelchair user.
Actually, I didn't become a wheelchair user until 1990, after a couple of surgeries on my back.
So at what point during this timeline did you become a social worker?
I actually had become a social worker about a year and a half, something like that, before the car accident. 1987, I graduated with my MSW.
And what made you to decide to go into that field?
My mother is a social worker, and I've always been interested in helping the downtrodden or the disenfranchised. And so I had wanted initially to become a lawyer, but I discovered something interesting about myself. I don't like people to argue with me.
Well, I guess that's not a good fit if you're a lawyer.
Right. Plus the fact I really wasn't a very good student at school. And so I didn't do well in the LSATs when I took them. And so this was an opportunity to do something different.
And how long did you do that?
Was I a social worker?
Yes.
Up until my car accident in 88.
Okay.
So about a year and a half, something like that.
And how did you make the transition from being a social worker to being a writer?
Actually, that's an interesting idea because I write about issues of disability, which you know could be from anything from sports to politics and everything in between. And so I still consider myself a social worker, but I don't meet with people directly. And I find that I have a much larger audience to help people. So I'm still doing social work in a sense.
And then you made another transition into writing fiction.
Well, first let me clear up something. I don't believe in the concept of fiction.
Okay.
I believe that everything comes from who you are and what you experience and who you meet in the world. So therefore, there really is no such thing as fiction. It's fictionalized, maybe, but there's no real fiction. And how I made that leap was, again, an interesting thing. I had written an article about a piece of technology that a professor in California developed that would use global positioning satellites and virtual sound to allow somebody who was blind to navigate through his world. And so about a year after I wrote that article, I was talking to my brother about it. And my brother's much more scientific than I am. And he was thinking, well, what would happen if the device kind of messed up? And so instead of telling the person immediately where he is, it would instead make a mistake and show somebody is really someplace else. And so I took that idea and I said, well, if the person is someplace else, what happens if something is occurring where he thinks he is? In other words, in this case, it's going to be a murder. Once he finds out that he's really not where the thing actually took place, but he did witness something, he goes to the police and he says, hey, I witnessed this murder. And the police say, number one, you're blind. How could you have seen it? And number two, when he tries to explain he didn't really see it, but he experienced it, the police say, what are you talking about? You couldn't possibly experience this. So you're nowhere near it. So he ends up having to go in and investigate and solve the crime himself.
That's a very interesting plot that I'm sure has never been done before.
I haven't seen it done before, which is making me do other stories based upon the same character.
And what is the name of this series?
It's The Blind Traveler Mysteries.
And how many editions are there?
I have two books out there. The first one is both physical and electronic, and the second one is purely electronic. And I'm 18 pages into writing the third book in the series.
And how can people get a copy?
Well, mostly you can go on Amazon, of course, and look up Blind Traveler Down a Dark River or Blind Traveler's Blues. Or for the second book, you can contact my publisher, which is Echelon Press.
So you've written for quite a few major publications in your writing career. Can you tell us what some of the pieces are that you are most proud of?
Well, the first thing that I wrote that was published was a series of short articles taking Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's idea of stages of death and dying and translating those into what happens when somebody becomes newly disabled. And that was, I guess, what I'm most proud of in the beginning of my career. Another thing that I really, really am proud of is the New York Times a couple of years ago published an article I wrote about adaptive devices for motor vehicles. And I have a copy of that hanging on my wall, and I'm really happy about that. Of course, there's many other things that have developed since then. I've written articles about access to religious facilities. I've written political pieces. I've written an article or two for Tennis Magazine. I wrote an article or two about wheelchair ballet. But my favorite topic to write about is technology.
Now, I have not read your book series yet, but I've read some reviews about it, and okay. Something caught my eye. It mentioned that in one of the books, there was a discovery of some kind of strain of clone that went rampant and destroyed other vegetation. Am I correct in this?
Well, kind of, sort of. You're talking about my second book, Blind Traveler's Blues. And in that, a strain of bacteria was discovered accidentally that ravaged the world's corn crop. It didn't touch any other crop, but it ravaged and destroyed a large part of the Mexican corn crop and started to destroy a large part of the American corn crop. And as you know, corn products are used everywhere. From food to gasoline to petrol to everything.
So I gotta ask, because I'm nosy, that's why. Was Monsanto an inspiration for this plot?
No.
Okay.
But no, they were not an inspiration, but they certainly were part of my research. I tend to do an awful lot of research for everything I write, which comes from the idea that most people think you write what you know. I think you write what you can find out.
So what's next? You said you're working on your third book, and I'm sure you're into something else.
I'm working on my third book, which is going to be a prequel of the first two. And it's going to take place shortly after the accident that led him to his blindness. And so it's going to take place in the hospital and then in the rehab facility afterward. And it's going to be, again, another murder.
Now, people listening, they're going to be intrigued by the cool stuff that you're doing. How can they keep track of you and your success?
I have a blog, which is called Blind Traveler's Blog. And I have my website, which is enablingwords.com.
Okay, great.
And I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Robert.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. It was my honor. I appreciate it.
For more information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjane.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjane@gmail.com.